Welcome to the Parenting Adventures Podcast.
Dad, I'm bored.
Heard this before? If so, you're not alone.
Grab a torch and join us for Parenting Adventures as we bring fun back to the family.
And now, here's your host, Michael Stelzner.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you so much for joining me for the Parenting Adventures Podcast, brought to you by MyKidsAdventures.com. I'm your host, Michael Stelzner, and this is the podcast for parents and grandparents who are looking for creative things to do with their kids. I'm super excited about today's show. In this episode, we're going to explore how screen time, video games, and tech impacts children with Dr. Jim Taylor, a psychology expert and author of 14 books. We're also going to dig into digital addiction and talk about what parents can do about it. And I don't know about your household, but I know that this is a huge struggle for me in my household. My three kids at varying levels have this deep desire to want to be watching videos, playing video games on the Nintendo, having the smartphone to be able to play games on that, and the list goes on and on and on. And it seems to be the first thing that pops into their head. And once they're using the games, asking them to stop is like, you know, you would think the world is coming to an end. And hopefully you can relate to this, and chances are pretty good you're dealing with some of these kind of issues in your house. So let's transition over that interview right now with Dr. Jim Taylor.
Helping bring fun back to your family.
Here's this week's expert guide.
I'm very excited to be joined today by Dr. Jim Taylor. He's an international authority on the psychology of parenting, and he's authored 14 books, including Raising Generation Tech, Prepare Your Child for a Media-Filled World, and Positive Pushing, How to Raise a Successful and Happy Child. Jim has published more than 700 scholarly articles and has made regular appearances on major television networks. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Michael. We'll have a lot of fun with it today.
So today, Jim and I are going to explore how digital technology impacts our kids. So Jim, let's start with your backstory a little bit. How did you come to have a passion for children? Clearly, you've written a lot of books about kids.
Sure. Well, early on, well, first of all, I was a child at one point, so I had a passion from there.
Well, that's good.
But also, in my practice, I have a consulting practice. I've worked with a lot of young people along the way and their parents, and I just saw this need for better, more clear information to help parents navigate the challenges that raising children have these days.
Awesome. Well, let's dig into the tech challenge a little bit here. I can speak from my own household. I've got three children that are between the ages of 6 and 12, and it seems like I'm constantly battling with them on technology. And I know that a lot of people that are listening right now, probably maybe their kids have mobile phones, maybe they're into video games or whatever else is going on. But what are some of the challenges that parents may not realize are going on with their kids and with tech?
Well, Michael, let me start off by saying that I'm not a Luddite. I'm not anti-technology. I'm actually a total tech geek. Technology plays a huge role in my work and in my life. Plus, I have two girls. They're 8 and 6, so they're entering that stage where technology is becoming more important. And I think the real challenge is we're not going to get rid of technology. We're not going to go back to the primitive days of just television and radio. And so it's not a matter of getting rid of it or seeing it as a bad thing, because technology is neither good nor bad. But that doesn't mean it's benign or neutral. It has its effect, but the impact it has on kids is dependent upon their relationship with technology, their parents' relationship with technology, and how what kind of guidance and limits parents set on the use of technology.
Well, let's break that down a little bit. When kids are allowed to, let's go with both of the extremes. I mean, what's the downside to it when there is no limits on the kids?
Well, the most fundamental downside for me with technology are opportunity costs. And for those of the audience who aren't familiar with that phrase, it's an economics term that means time or money spent in one area is time or money not spent in another area. So with kids, I don't know if you've seen the Kaiser Foundation study that came out a couple of years ago that found that on average, kids spend about 7.5 hours a day in front of a non-school-related screen. So if you just try to add that up, kids, maybe they get 8 hours of sleep a night. They go to school during the day. They have to bathe, eat, and so on. The researchers didn't know where that time was. But the time that kids are spending in front of a screen is time not spent studying, exercising, interacting with other human beings, cultural, religious, whatever kind of activities they might participate in. So my biggest concern is simply the time spent in front of a screen is time not spent doing other things that I think are, that I'm going to say are a little healthier and better for kids in their development.
You know, I'm with you 100% on that. You know, it's funny, when my kids were really young, what I used to do was I bought these baby Einstein videos. I don't know if you're familiar with these at all.
Oh, very, very familiar.
You know, and I thought they were really good because, frankly, they were teaching things to children, right? And pretty much since they were little babies, they would watch these baby Einstein videos and learn about, you know, art and learn about all this kind of stuff. But I, somewhere along the line, began to realize that the kids needed the baby Einstein videos. And I'm and I did it more with my older gal than I did with my younger one. And I'm just wondering whether or not that had some sort of long-term impact on my kid. I mean, is there, you know, talk to me a little bit about this.
Yeah, first of all, you know, early exposure to technology is probably not going to scar your kids. I want to make that clear. So you shouldn't be too worried that your children are messed up because you showed them a couple of baby Einstein videos when they were little. But I'm also not sure if you're also familiar with the fact that Baby Einstein, the company, removed the word educational from all of their materials in response to a suit from Common Sense Media that asked them to demonstrate that their products are actually educational.
Mm.
And so you these days, whether it's with apps or DVDs or websites, the word educational gets put up there, and the idea that, oh, kids can learn from it, so that somehow makes it okay. But I would suggest that, yes, maybe some of this technology is educational. But I would also argue that there are better ways for kids to get educated.
Absolutely. Well, you know, video games in particular, I'm trying to remember the video game that my kids are totally into. There's this video game where they make stuff. It's kind of like a cross between Legos and I'm drawing a mental blank on what it is. But some of these video games are super addictive. And, you know, I grew up, I'll be honest, on video games. You know, I grew up playing them and sitting in front of the computer for hours and hours on end. And part of my brain says, well, Mike, you turned out okay. But, you know, I guess maybe what I don't know is what's the psychological long-term impact that a kid has when they're stuck on these games and it becomes problematic to pull them away from it.
Right. Well, first of all, an unfortunate aspect of technology over the last 15 to 20 years since the internet was born is that the technology's emerged so quickly and it becomes so much a part of our culture that we're only able to look at the implications and the impact of technology in our rearview mirror. Mm. By then, it's too late. There is a growing body of research, and every day new studies are coming out showing that there are some benefits, but that there are also some costs. And one thing that's come up that's of great concern is this idea of internet addiction. Mm. Now, the American Psychiatric Association was unwilling to add it as a psychiatric disorder, but there are facilities around the country that are treating what they call internet addiction. And what's fascinating about that, Michael, is that we think about internet addiction as a psychological addiction, that we feel that little buzz in our pocket or the notification or our kids can't get away from their video games or from the games on their smartphones and see that as psychological. But in fact, there's some emerging research that has shown that this addiction is actually neurochemical. It's occurring in the brain. And here's the scary part, that this addiction, this connection that kids and people have with technology has the same neurochemical effect as drugs, alcohol, and gambling.
Wow.
So when we talk about addiction, we are truly talking about real physiological, neurological connections, not just this idea of, oh, they just can't break away from it. And well, and that is an immense concern, because what in a way what might be happening now is that we're raising a generation of addicts.
That's crazy. I mean, I think about my oldest. And I think about the fact that I have an iPhone and, you know, you can ask Siri questions and stuff. Well, she gets to the point where I'll be driving the car and she'll see my phone and she'll know that I'm not using it. And she has to have it. She has to have it to either, you know, look up some person to see what movie they were in or to ask Siri questions. Do you think that the availability of instant information is kind of like a Pavlov's dog. I don't even know if I'm saying that right, kind of situation where it's like, because they know that they can, you know, push a lever and get something back, you know, they just constantly want to push the lever. And is that causing the addiction?
Yeah, I don't actually have a huge concern with that. I think the availability of information is a great benefit of the internet, in that we used to have to go to libraries and go through books, but now we can get it on the internet. Is that easier? Absolutely. Is it worse? I'm not going to go that way. My biggest concern is how kids use technology, whether smartphones or what have you, in this situation. And I wrote a blog post a few years back called iPhone Syndrome. Is it high-tech child abuse? Because what do most parents do when their kids are bored or cranky these days? They give them an iPhone.
Yeah.
I've been at dinner with my family, and there's a family next door. And in this one case, I remember the two boys had both had their own DVD players, and they were watching a movie during dinner. Or I've seen families just actually a couple weeks ago, where we were in a restaurant, and there's a family of five. All of them had their phones out. They weren't interacting at all. And this is really unsettling for me, because this is another concern I have about technology, is involved in developing relationship skills. Relationship skills are skills, and the only way to develop skills is through practice. So kids and people, parents, by the way, and we'll get into parents in a little while, are so absorbed in this, they're not engaging in the normal sort of things that develop relationship skills.
Well, let's step back for a second. How do we know if our kids are becoming addicted to, you know, these digital things? What are the signs?
Sure. Well, a couple things I want to emphasize here is, first of all, technology can be a wonderful thing, but it should be a tool and not a toy.
Right.
Yes, it can be used for entertainment, but it shouldn't be the go-to. It should be the exception, not the rule in kids' lives. And I think this notion of, I mean, you think about addiction of any sort, it's when kids, quote, need to be playing video games. They need to do it. When it causes them to make bad choices in how they spend their time, when it hurts their health, when it hurts their relationships, when it hurts their school. So all these are no different than drug addiction or alcohol addiction. When it interferes with the quality of children's lives and their ability to function normally, that tells me that there is a problem.
Gotcha. So if, for example, one of my children has got behavioral issues at school, that might be a sign of it? Or is it more like they're not doing as well in school and we find out that they're sneaking an iPad or an iPod and you know, instead of doing their homework kind of thing? Is that the kind of stuff I should be looking for?
Well, it shouldn't be for sure that just because a kid's struggling in school in some way doesn't mean, or behaving badly, doesn't mean it's because of technology. But those are certainly red flags. I would be more concerned is there school studying? Is there school suffering, for example?
Gotcha.
Are they not because of technology? Are they seeing up too late and not getting enough sleep because they can't get off their computers or their phones? So basically, we're looking for behavior that is causing them to not function as well and is directly caused by their use of technology, their overuse of technology.
For a parent who's listening right now that might be concerned that there's the beginning signs of a need for the tech, you know, a need for the smartphone or a need to have to be on the computer or a need to have to play the video game, what are some things that can be done to kind of wean a child from the need?
Okay. Well, Michael, I want to step back and talk about how to get to the place where that doesn't occur.
Okay, let's talk about that. Yeah.
So basically, a couple of things I recommend. First of all, you know, not many parents are going to raise their kids without technology. And so it's not a matter of yes or no, it's a matter of degree. And so are parents setting limits on their children's use of technology? Are parents providing guidance in terms of what kind of technology their kids are allowed to use? Is it age appropriate? And one thing I really want to emphasize, Michael, is that these days, with all this push about technology and it's the future of careers and so on and our economy, parents are afraid that their kids are going to be left off the technology train. So I hear parents who are buying their kids iPads when they're 2 years old.
Wow.
And there are schools where they're giving kids iPads in kindergarten because that's going to supposedly enhance their educational experience and their learning. But I really believe that technology is not the issue. Because the Mark Zuckerbergs, the Bill Gates, the Marissa Myers, they didn't become incredibly successful because they knew how to use write code. They became successful not because of the technology. They became successful because they learned how to think innovatively and creatively and disruptively. And it just happened to be through the venue of technology. So I actually think that early technology exposure will interfere with children's later development and success. Because what I really believe is that how to develop good kids, successful kids, motivated kids, happy kids, value-driven kids, contributing kids is by – it hasn't changed over the last couple of generations. The way you raise good kids is to instill healthy values in them, give them good perspectives, positive attitudes, and then instill in them the tools and the life skills they need to become successful. Now, that might be in technology. It might be in the arts. It might be in business. It doesn't matter. So I think parents are putting the cart before the horse when they are so focused on making sure their kids are tech savvy. Because, Michael, kids these days, they're digital natives. They are going to very quickly pick up technology. Parents do not need to worry about whether their kids are going to be tech savvy. They're going to be.
Two quick follow-up questions related to what you just said. What's a good age to introduce electronics? And then what's a reasonable amount of time to allow a child to be on electronics?
Yeah, the American Academy of Pediatrics suggests no screen time before age 2.
Okay.
Now, again, let's be realistic. I brought up the issue before of iPhone syndrome and this idea of expediency of giving your kids a phone. Let's be honest. Parents sometimes need a break. So to put them in front of a TV or give them an iPad every once in a while so a parent can bathe or have a martini or whatever it is they need a little break from or read a book or newspaper, I have no problem with that. But when it becomes the rule and not the exception, that is when it becomes a problem. So before age 2, there's just no need for it, zero need. The second recommendation is between ages of 2 and 8, no more than an hour a day in front of a screen.
Of any kind?
Of any kind.
Wow.
There's just no need for it. And again, go back to that idea of opportunity costs. What are all the other much healthier things that your kid could be doing other than sitting in front of a screen playing with it?
You know, and I hate to say it, but I think so many parents are well-wishing when we want our kids to have fun and we want our kids to be entertained. But at the same – and they're also facing the fact that their friends have this, especially the 6, 7, you know, and 8-year-olds. How do you handle that? I mean, it's like, you know, Johnny or Jill at school, they're 8 and they happen to have an iPod and I don't. What do you tell to your kid?
Well, that's a real challenge. And I want to clarify something. You talked about you want your kids to be entertained. You don't want your kids to be entertained. You want your kids to entertain themselves. And that's one of the dangers here. Just like at the dinner out at a restaurant, kids don't learn how to manage their boredom. Kids don't learn how to deal with being cranky every once in a while. When you give your kid technology, you're basically medicating them. But wow. instead of giving them a sedative, you're giving them technology. And so kids aren't learning how to manage themselves. And these are skills. So when they get to be adults, they're not going to know how to manage themselves in situations where they're bored at work or they're bored in school. And that's going to be a problem.
And that's a really good point that you brought up. And where I was going was, I think that a lot of us parents, frankly, are just trying to free ourselves from the chaos of parenting. And we're giving a drug to ourselves more than we are our children, even, but we're hurting our children in the process, right? It's a quick fix, right? If I give them this and let them watch a movie for a couple hours or whatever, you know, every day, then I can have my 2 hours to myself. But in reality, we don't realize that we as parents are actually, you know, creating a problem that could be a very big challenge for our children when they get older. That's what I hear you saying. Is that correct?
Absolutely, Michael. And one of the most dangerous words in parenting is expediency. And what's expediency? It's doing the easy thing, the thing that's easy for you, but not necessarily best for your kids. So yes, as I said before, there is a place for occasional expediency, but it should not be the go-to route because what's easy for you is not always in the best interest of your child long-term. And that is really problematic. Now, Michael, getting to your second part of that question about everybody else is doing it.
Right.
That is the biggest challenge because there's peer pressure. Kids go over to their friend's house and all they do is sit in front of a screen. And that's not playing in my book. That's not how I define playing and interacting. And it takes a lot of strength. It takes a lot of commitment to just say, no, you can't have an iPod. You can't have an iPhone. You can't have a tablet until you're ready. But it's no doubt swimming against the stream.
Well, and I'll tell you what the worst situation is you're out to dinner with another family and they allow their children to have the electronics and you don't allow your children. And all your kids are huddling around their kids. And then one of them is by themselves and says, "Mom, Dad, can I have the iPhone?" It's like, what do you do in that situation?
That's a tough one. And you have to be very selective in who you go out to dinner with. You might have to say, "Guys, you know, we're out to dinner as a group. How about let's just all talk?"
Yeah.
At the same time, I'm an idealist at one level, but I'm also a realist. And there are going to be some situations where that's going to happen. And you know what? Over dinner with another family, you know, 45 minutes or an hour in front of screens, again, not going to scar your kid.
Yeah.
But you might want to reconsider in the future. Do we really want to have dinner with these people such that we're not interacting as a family? Or do we maybe want to talk to them and say, "Hey, look, let's go out and let's talk and let's be a couple of families having a good time rather than sitting in front of screens."
Yeah, I think that's an awesome idea. Okay, so these are great tips that you provided to kind of help make sure our kids don't get addicted. But let's just say that we got a couple that are addicted. What do we do then?
Two ways to go. In my book, Raising Generation Tech, I use a couple of examples of families who just went cold turkey, who just disconnected the internet and said no. And there was a battle, no doubt about it, because kids, just think of addicted people. They're going to fight for their drug, and kids are going to fight for their drug, which is technology. So probably not the best way to go, unless parents are willing to just hang in there. Because in these particular cases, what happened was after a while, the kids started seeing that their life was less stressful. Their life was more relaxed, more interesting. They started to do other things, and they ultimately bought into it. But again, probably not that realistic. What I encourage parents to do, though, is again to set limits, to start to ratchet back the use. And maybe if they're in front of a screen 4 hours a day, you go back to 3 hours or 2 hours. Or you set times where no technology after 9 o'clock so they can actually get a good night's sleep. No technology over dinner. And then here's a crazy one. We do this with our family. On Sunday mornings till noon, we don't go near technology. We don't check our email. We don't search the web. We just hang out and do stuff as a family. And so you create these windows in which they're just not allowed to. But here's an interesting thing, Michael. Very often the problem with kids' use of technology, it's the parents' use of technology.
And oh my gosh, you totally got my next question.
Good.
Because I think we as parents are just as – we need to hold ourselves to the same standards, don't we?
We need to hold ourselves to higher standards because kids will do what we do, not what we say.
Right.
And so if you have an unhealthy relationship with technology, if you're constantly checking your phone, sending texts, checking the web, then your kids are going to role model that. And they're going to think that, well, that's just the way it should be. So parents really need to look in the mirror and look at their own relationship with technology. And you see it everywhere. You go to playgrounds and you see parents, while their kids are playing, they're on their phones instead of parents playing with their kids. And so that's really the place to start, because none of a parent's efforts will be effective unless they develop a healthy relationship with technology.
Now, earlier you were talking about how I think some organization said somewhere like in the 5 to 8 age range, you're talking about an hour of screen time a day. What about for someone that's like in the 9 to 12 age range? What's the screen time suggestion?
There are no firm numbers here. I just don't see any reason why children up into their teens should be spending more than an hour a day in front of the screen, given how busy they are these days. Because what happens is these kids' lives are unbelievably cluttered in terms of their schedule, homework, social life. And what, for example, social media does, constantly getting the pings, constantly getting the notifications, that creates more clutter. It is stressful for kids to have this ongoing stream of input and then have to create that ongoing stream of output. So, you know, I'm a bit tough in this way, but I just don't see any reason for hours and hours of time in front of a screen. There are better things to do, Michael.
What about in the summertime when the kids aren't in school and they've got a heck of a lot of time on their hands? Do you have any suggestions? I mean, is there seasons where it's maybe okay to give them a little more screen time because they're just going to be sitting around bored out of their mind? Or what are your thoughts?
Yes, probably so, because they have more time. But this idea that they're bored out of their mind, I don't buy into that. Kids can take care of themselves if they're given the opportunity to. Plus, they have things called summer jobs, summer camp, saving the world, making the world a better place. For me, boredom is something, you know, were kids bored 100 years ago? No, they were exhausted from working in the field.
Oh, that's a good point.
You know, I don't know for sure, but this idea that kids don't, if parents simply make an effort, and they will need to make an effort because they will need to help their kids do this, is help their kids find things to do. You can't just say no technology and they just sit there. You need to give them some alternatives, help them build stuff, find games, create play dates, activities, camps, whatever it might be, something to replace it with. Because if they don't replace it with technology, the kids are always going to go back to technology. And my belief is that real flesh and blood interaction and activity is more interesting than screen activities.
Well, and you know, that's really part of the mission of My Kids Adventures is to provide alternatives that are not reliant on tech. You know, sometimes once in a blue moon, tech might be involved, but generally speaking, you know, kids have a lot of fun doing stuff with mom and dad and with brothers and sisters and friends, and oftentimes more fun. They just don't know any better because they're given all this, you know, other things that are going on, but they love it when they're given the opportunity. And you know, you talked about cold turkey. Well, my children got to the point where it was clearly a problem, and their behavioral issues were off the charts whenever, you know, they didn't have the tech. So I took it away during Christmas, and actually it was almost three and a half months where I took away everything, and it was a cold turkey thing. And I got to tell you, they were the coolest kids after that. They were doing more creative things. But unfortunately they eventually asked if they could get it back, and I'm starting to see the repeat of the same patterns. So I guess the real thing that I need to do is somehow put limits. Do you know if there's apps that you can buy for your smartphones and stuff that kind of only allow them to work for an hour? Have you heard of such a thing?
Yeah, there are apps. I couldn't give you names, but they're definitely there. And you can also set up similar things with your internet at home.
Oh, really? Okay.
Absolutely. So there is the way to use technology against technology, if you will, or as your ally. But what I would suggest is as your kids get older, you're going to have less control over them.
Right.
And so you don't want them to feel like you're forcing them to do these things. I think you need to have a conversation with them. You need to get buy-in from them. You need to convince them that, you know what, all this technology actually isn't good for you. So how about we as a family make a commitment to using technology in a reasonable amount, but let's go out and see what other cool things we can do. Let's find some great ways to spend our time. And if you can get them to buy in, what you end up doing is you start to give them a different perspective, a different way of looking at technology that's very different from what their world is communicating. Plus, you're creating what I call a family culture. And that is, instead of popular culture influencing them, you're creating your own family culture that creates a set of values and attitudes about the world and about family and about interactions that makes it something that they can buy into and become a part of and believe in and want to act on.
Is there any kind of tech where it does make sense to get kids involved with tech? For example, I think about the fact that I have a Fitbit on. I don't know if you're familiar with what Fitbit is.
Sure.
But it tracks
yeah.
my steps and everything. Yeah. Is there any kind of tech that maybe is good for kids?
Well, I'm going to go back to this notion that technology isn't inherently bad. It's how it's used.
Gotcha.
So if kids, there are some great games, Minecraft.
I was trying to think of earlier. Yeah.
Sure. I mean, there's some great things online with technology that can be maybe not educational in the purest sense, but are great fun and interesting. So I've got no problem with kids using technology, at least healthy technology. When I use that term, I mean something that isn't like unbelievably violent video games or what have you.
Right.
Some of the time. Again, it's not a matter of yes or no. It's a matter of degree. And so if kids want to spend their free time, a little free time playing a video game or on their smartphones or what have you, you know, that's their choice. But what's most important is that parents should make deliberate decisions about what's best for their kids, educate themselves about technology, because that's a problem. These days, parents have no legitimate authority, meaning they don't know anything about technology. Their kids know all about it. So parents need to educate themselves and understand what it's about. So when they see their kids doing stuff on a smartphone or on a tablet or a computer, they can say, you know what, we need to have a conversation about this. Or, you know, that's pretty good stuff. Go for it. But only for an hour.
Do you think it's okay to use the hour of screen time as a reward for accomplishing something else, or is it not necessarily appropriate to use something like this as a reward? Like if you do your chores or if you finish your homework on schedule, then you can have an hour of screen time. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Michael, that's a tough one. That's like saying a kid can have an ice cream sundae who's got a weight problem. But I'm a little mixed on this, because if it's something that's rewarding for them, then why not? If it helps motivate your kids, why not? But I would like to think that parents can be a little more creative and come up with some other rewards that are healthier and maybe more beneficial to their kids.
So then when it comes to metering the screen time for our children, I guess what I hear you saying is, hey, get the family together, talk about this, and then say we're going to instigate some sort of a rule in the house that says, the amount of screen time that you're allowed to have on any given day, if mom and dad say it's okay, is a maximum of 60 minutes, and then just enforce it. Is that what you recommend?
Well, I would make it, at least with kids your age, I would make it a little more conversational. Okay. Where you say like, so, we feel like you're using your technology a little too much. What do you guys think? And they might say yay or nay. But you say, look, we'd like to try something. How about we see if we can limit our technology to this, or you can't use it during these times. So you don't make it rules that you place upon them, but you see if you can get buy-in. And maybe you can incentivize them. Maybe you can bribe them a little, because research does show that a little bribery can be beneficial at first. Hmm. Say, okay, how about this week? Let's have an hour a day, nothing after 9 o'clock. And on Sunday, we'll go out and do something that you guys all want to do.
That's cool.
And the idea is that they internalize this. First of all, they will actually find that they enjoy not being wired, connected all the time. And then it becomes internalized and they go, yeah, we don't really need to do that. Let's do some of this other cool stuff. But parents do need to stay on top of it. And they need to, if you set an expectation, you need to make sure that there's follow-up and you're vigilant and that you keep doing the right thing rather than what's expedient.
And at what point, how often do you think you need to do something before it becomes a pattern in a child?
Oh, boy. I guess it goes back to this idea of if that's their go-to, if that's their what I call their default, then if they, whenever they get up in the morning, they go to the computer. When they get home from school, they go to the computer. Whenever they should be doing something else, they go to their tablet. When they start making it their first choice of action, that tells me maybe you need to make some decisions there.
But I guess what I'm saying is, like, if you have this conversation with your kids and they begin to agree with it and they begin to do it, I'm just wondering what I know in adults, like there's been a lot of interesting stuff I've heard about how to move from how to get a good behavior to become a pattern. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. You think it takes a couple of weeks of doing this before the kids fully buy into it?
I'm going to say more. I would say anywhere from 1 to 3 months.
Really? Okay.
And that sounds like a long time. And there certainly could very well be some pretty serious battles over it.
Mm.
But I found that if parents stay firm, because here's an interesting thing, Michael. Most kids believe that if they hang in there long enough, they will win any argument.
And unfortunately, they're pretty good at it, aren't they?
They are. Well, they are, because they have much more energy than us and they have much more time than we do. But if parents can be resolute and be committed and not give in and send that message, guys, we're not giving in, then within a month or two or three, it depends upon the kids, the family, then the kids, I think, are going to come around.
Wow. Well, Jim, I know that I speak for a lot of people that are listening right now. This was awesome. And I'm going to go home and I'm going to try some of these ideas with my children. Where can people discover more about you and about your book, Raising Generation Tech?
Sure. Well, my book, Raising Generation Tech, is available on Amazon and all the major booksellers. They can also go to my website. It's drjimtaylor.com, drjimtaylor.com. I have a bi-monthly e-newsletter called Prime Family Alert, and I have a blog. I have a category, Technology and also Parenting, where I talk about a lot of these issues related to technology and raising kids, and that's all free, and they can get what they want there. And so that's how they can learn more about what I do and how I might be able to help.
Awesome. Dr. Jim Taylor, thank you so much for joining me on today's show.
Great fun, Michael. I really, really appreciate it.
Well, I hope you got as much out of that interview as I did. I know it was awesome. By the way, if you missed anything that we mentioned in today's show, we take all the notes for you. They're called show notes, and you can find them at mykidsadventures.com/2. Note the word kids is plural and the word adventures is plural. That's mykidsadventures.com/2. Also, if you're listening to this podcast on iTunes, would you do me a favor? Would you give us a rating and a review on iTunes? It's very easy. Just visit mykidsadventures.com/iTunes. And then once you go there, hit the subscribe button if you're not already subscribed. And then you can quickly give us a rating, a star rating, and or a review. Also, if you're on Twitter and you visit mykidsadventures.com/love, this will help us spread the word and get more people to discover the show by pre-populating a tweet in your Twitter stream saying you recommend the show. Well, this brings us to the end of the second episode of the Parenting Adventures podcast. I'm your host, Michael Stelzner. I'll be back with you next week. I hope you make the absolute best out of your day, and may spending time with your kids change your world.
The Parenting Adventures podcast is a production of My Kids Adventures.
Visit mykidsadventures.com for fun activities to do with your kids.